Folks, this is Long Shots Radio with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey folks, you're listening to Long Shots Radio College Football Edition with Donnie Wrightside. Just want to welcome you guys to the show. It's a brand new show. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. You can catch it here on TrendBetting.com. We're going to talk NCAA football, NFL football, fantasy football, take your phone calls, recap what happens during the week, what's going on, future impact, upcoming big games, gambling tips is what we're here for, folks. What we're going to look for in the next few weeks. Why is the line moving? Public versus Vegas. Always previewing those big-time, prime-time games with my good buddy, Alex, the AK-47. Listen here, Saturday, 6 p.m., trendbetting.com, Long Shots Radio, College Football Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Ah, folks, another week, another dollar. Welcome to the show once again, ladies, gentlemen, friends, clients, future clients, Long Shots Radio. This is our primetime edition with your host, myself, Donnie Wrightside. We have a lot of fun doing this show, put a lot of prep work into it. We love to bring the winners out to you. We're going to go over a lot of information today. I know in the past we focused a lot on college football with a little bit sprinkled in at the end of the show with NFL, just because there's so much college information to get in within 30 minutes of time. That's not the case this week. We are going to shift gears and put a premium on the NFL championship game weekend. I definitely want to recap how those games went last Saturday and Sunday. Some fantastic games. Big, big difference from week before on Wild Card Weekend. But once again, welcome to the show. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. You know what we're about. Winners. NCAA football, NCAA basketball, National Football League, fantasy football, which now it's over. In my league, disappointing, took third place, but still took some cash home. And, you know, we've had Jay Woody on the show talking a lot about expert plays on who to take in that regard. We're certainly going to bring that back in a little bit as we delve into fantasy NBA action. Believe it or not, there is a big market for that, especially on DraftKings and whatnot in that area. Eventually down the line, we say it all the time, we're going to eventually take phone calls once we get a bigger capacity and extend the show to at least one full hour, maybe more. Goal in the near future, folks, we want to do this show daily to you. We want to bring you the highlights. We want to bring you the bad beats. We want to tell you what's on tap and what to look out for. That's going to be a lot of fun as it coming up. Today we're going to recap a lot of what happened over the past week. I do want to take a look, one brief passing there on the NCAA football championship, the first one. We're going to review that in just a little bit. Again, we're going to go over last week's NFL action, what that's going to happen, what that's going to take place this week, and going to help you out on what to look for in these key conference matchups there. It's going to decide who goes to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, biggest game of the year. Right now, who wants it more? Two very, very intriguing matchups this weekend in both the early game with Seattle and also the later game with New England. We're going to go over some mismatches in that game and what probably is going to happen. Of course, hey, we don't have a crystal ball. I can't for certain tell you who's going to win each game or, heck, even cover the spread. But we seem to have a definite lean coming up in these games. Already fired on one of these games last week. We're going to give that out as a premium play before the show ends this evening. Gambling tips, that's what we look for. What is the line moving? What's Vegas talking about? Why is the line sitting where it is? Do we expect any eventual moves? And, of course, why did the line move already? Because there already is some sharp action on these games that I do want to go over, because one of them, I wasn't really expecting too much of a move, and it's pretty much stayed the same. The others moved a little bit of a point in a direction which I really didn't anticipate based on the numbers that we're getting back, and we'll go over that in just a little bit. About myself, again, to all new listeners out there, 20-year pro gambler. This is what I do. This is what I have most fun at, and obviously profitable. You have to pay the bills. Can't just have a hobby there that's not going to pay off in the end. We take the 401k investment approach, and it's worked out very well. Just in the last week, we did have a nice run come to an end last night, which was a 6-0 college basketball run, which produced a full 30 units of profit. Last night, Wichita State, we did have them as a heavy, heavy favorite at home, up 16 at the half, only had to cover 18.5, but took their foot off the gas pedal, was up as many as 16 with about 2 minutes to go. did not hold on. They only won by 12. That brought our streak to a halt. Have two games in action tonight. Not going to lie. Not looking too promising at the half for us. So we need a big scramble in the second half, much like we did not get last night in our game. Hopefully we get some breaks there and pull out some winners for tonight. But once again, really nice run. College basketball is underway. We're doing very well. You see the tweets out there. It's up on the monitor. I mean, keeping everything on the up and up. Both websites, trendbetting.com and also rightsidevalueplays.com. Again, we're selling picks online for about 2 years or so. Always throughout my life been making friends and family a lot of money. Decided to go online to see if I can test it out. It's worked out very well over the past year. You know the numbers if you've been on board. Baseball is right around the corner. I know that sounds funny, but pitchers and catchers are coming up next month, and we're really going to get into another smoking hot baseball season as well. My approach, as you know, less is more. We don't need to take 5 to 10 games. At least that's my approach each night with the action. Less is more. 1 to 2 games, maybe 3 games. Take that 2-1. Put that profit in your pocket and keep it moving. I know I said I specialize in NCAA football, NCAA basketball, NFL, Major League Baseball. It's what we do. It's what I have a lot of fun with. You see the videos up there posted on the site. Hopefully we can start doing a little bit more of that, cutting a couple new commercials there for us once we get some time as well. It's a fun show, and I have a lot of fun doing it. You can catch me on Twitter. I know a lot of you interact with me at RightsideVP, but I do want to take a minute to pay some bills here for us. Trendbetting.com. That's what I'm here for. That's why we are in this business. A first-class website by founding and owner Lucky Lance Williams. The guy's on fire, a great guy to talk to, very knowledgeable. You see him taking pictures on Facebook. You see him on Twitter. The guy is always in Vegas, very affable. Go talk to him online, on his Twitter account, on his Facebook account. Get to know the guys there. But once again, a first-class operation. If you go to the website, you see the pictures there. Obviously, you see the videos. CJ the Razor has some nice write-ups. Alex the AK-47 with some great write-ups. You see my videos on there as well, and also philosophies. Everything is quick and easy to use on the rundown there. Of course, Lucky Lance Williams is on there. CJ the Razor, very sharp guy. Love the guy's knowledge on the NHL ice. Alex, the AK-47, one of the sharpest young minds in the business. He does everything there, right down to baseball, hockey, basketball, football, you name it. He's going to have that trend and angle that you're not going to be anticipating that's going to come through with the cash. MMAJ, good friend of mine, the foremost capper of MMA in the world. If you haven't seen his numbers, go check out any monitor. Ask anybody online or on Twitter. The guy knows his business. Travis Terry, on fire there. He takes a little bit different approach than I do. More plays each night, not a problem. If it ends up with more money in your pocket, you can't argue with the philosophy. Travis has found something special there. Stick with him. Grab his package there. Very, very good and sharp capper. We talk each and every day. He does take more of a bookie approach, which I like, because you have to have those conflicting areas that maybe you don't see something, that he sees something with money movement. Travis, very smart guy in this business. Jeff Brandeis, that's your horse guy. Coming up in the spring, the Triple Crown, you're not going to want to miss out on anything. He has daily handicapping, does all sports as well, specializes in the horses, one of the foremost experts in that field, the Saffinator, and also Frank Buzz filling out the lineup. But once again, go to trendbetting.com, click on the experts tabs. We're all right there. If you like NCAA, if you like MMA, if you like NBA, we have something for everybody, very affordable. Let's build that bankroll together, roughly around $249 a month. We have specials going on all the time, but I can't say it enough. Trendbetting.com, log on and view and check it out. Now, time for the good stuff here for us. Let's say goodbye to one of our favorite seasons, and that is college football. Here it is. All right, what a season it was. The very first true national championship game where we had the Final Four, two great matchups where, as you know, Oregon just blew the doors off FSU, and as well as an upset of Ohio State taking out Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. Those were great matchups which left us with an entire week to talk about what might and might not happen. One of the key things that happened during the week is Oregon lost a top wideout to go along with the other top wideout, Allen, that they had the previous week before with the knee injury. So you were heading into Monday night. It was basically the system versus the team. Ohio State, there's no question about it, offensively and defensively. Overall, they did have more talent. Oregon had a sensational season, but you just didn't know how they would match up once they got on the big stage. You did have some question marks with Cardale Jones in that game going into his third game. I know he played well in the first two, but again, this is the biggest stage of them all down in Jerry World. Over 100,000 people watching, a world record audience for an NCAA football game watching it on TV over the past 20 years, and it certainly didn't disappoint. I know a lot of the Sharps were backing that game. We passed on that game because I couldn't get a clear read on which way to go. We even did lean Oregon, but that's what I mean. If you don't have something for sure, don't fire on the game. So we sat back as just a fan and watched, and Oregon came out, moved right down the field and punched it in 7-0, got an immediate 3-and-out on Ohio State and got the football back, and were driving at midfield, had a short 3rd-and-3. There was an incomplete pass, and the game completely changed from there on out. Cardale Jones, early on in the game, didn't make very many reads and didn't have to. He was, in that shotgun position there. Ezekiel Elliott wasn't running real well early, so it was on Cardale Jones to run around, scramble. He had a couple third-down runs that he converted in the first downs when that game was 7-0. If I would have told you before the game that Ohio State would fumble the football 4 times and Oregon would not turn the ball over until about the last minute of the game, you think Oregon would have blown the doors off the game. Not so fast. That game closed right around 6 to 7 points on a national stage there, and Oregon really wasn't physically into this game. A key situation, again, which is Oregon football on 4th and short, down in the red zone, they're going to go for it. They're not going to kick field goals, and I agree with that, especially in this football game, because you're not going to hold up against an Ohio State team with Ezekiel Elliott, a powerful offensive line, eventually wearing down that Oregon front, and it certainly proved true in the second half. If you noticed in that game, Ohio State was basically running 1 to 2 plays directly up the middle and gashing Oregon for 10 to 12 yards a pop with Ezekiel Elliott. Now, if you would have said that Ezekiel Elliott was going to be on Oregon, they probably would have won the football game. And the guy was the best player on the field. And yes, Marcus Mariota is a Heisman favorite and obviously won the Heisman and will be a top 5 draft pick. He wasn't even the best football player on the field. Ohio State, Urban Meyer's been there, done that. As a underdog in a championship game, you saw it back. He'll beat Ohio State up pretty bad when he was with Florida, and that was with half of a team that he does have now, which is amazing because Ohio State, with Troy Smith back in the day, Ted Ginn Jr., that whole crew, they were favored in that game by at least a touchdown against Florida, and they really put it to them. I mean, Ohio State shouldn't even have been on the field with SEC Florida at that point. But as I digress back into this game, Ohio State really ran away with the football game. The final ended up 42-20. Now, I mean, Ohio State did punch one in late, and Oregon had a chance in the second half, but it was clear, missing their 2 top wideouts at that point. They just couldn't get it going, and Oregon is a front-running team. When they have you down 7 to 14 points, there's no question about it. They're just going to turn up the gas and run on you, but for some reason in the game, they just couldn't get back in because Cardale Jones would convert every 3rd and short by running the football. A couple defensive breakdowns led to some long passing, and Ezekiel Elliott, you gave him the ball over 30 times. The guy ran for darn near 300 yards. It felt like 4 touchdown scores. He actually ended up with 36 carries and 246 yards. They dominated the time of possession, which, again, in that Chip Kelly-type Oregon Mark Helfrich offense, it was 38 minutes to 22 minutes, and 538 yards is what Ohio State ended up gaining on Oregon. They just couldn't hang with us or hang with the game, and that put it away. Again, we didn't have any play on that game. Most of the sharp players on that game were on Ohio State, and hey, it turned out well. We were talking to a couple people online, a couple of my best friends in the industry, and after that first drive, I was like, whoa, Oregon is going to blow the doors off this game. But again, didn't happen. Marcus Mariota finished up with a solid game, 24-37 for 300. 33 yards and 2 touchdowns. Marshall led them at wideout with 8 catches for 167 and a score. Obviously, the big touchdown play coming on that 70-yard pass, which got Oregon back into the game. Cardale Jones, 16 of 23 for 242 yards, used his legs some as well and picked up a few first downs. But again, the player of the game was Ezekiel Elliott, 36 carries, 246 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Clearly the MVP of that football game. Going to take a quick break. In the last 15 minutes of the show, folks, we are going to dive directly into some NFL football. We're going to recap the previous week and, of course, go over what we think is going to happen this week. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back in about a minute and a half. folks. You're listening to Long Shots Radio, College Football Edition with Donnie Wrightside. Just want to welcome you guys to the show. It's a brand new show. It's Guy Sports Talk Radio. You can catch it here on TrendBetting.com. We're going to talk NCAA football, NFL football, fantasy football, take your phone calls, recap what happens during the week, what's going on, future impact, upcoming big games, gambling tips is what we're here for, folks. What we're going to look for in the next few weeks, why is the line moving, public versus Vegas, always previewing those big-time primetime games with my good buddy Alex the AK-47. Listen here, Saturday, 6 p.m., TrendBetting.com, Long Shots Radio, College Football Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Once again, this is Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. TrendBetting.com, folks, go to the website, check in, hit the experts tab, check out what we have there. All your experts are right there for you. Packages, prices, cheap and affordable. Let's get right into last weekend and how it broke down. There were four monster games, two on Saturday and as well as two on Sunday. In the first game, in the early game, was the Patriots and the Ravens. Joe Cool on fire in his last couple playoff games over the years, going up against that old stalwart Tom Brady. Tom hasn't won a Super Bowl in 10 years, so what, as we like to say. 35-31 was the final, with the Patriots edging out the Ravens. This game was interesting. First time in playoff history, Ravens got up 14-0. Patriots tied the game at 14-all, and then 14 unanswered points by the Ravens to go up 28-14. The Patriots were able to overcome that and get the win. That was the first time that a playoff team was down 14 points twice in one football game and was able to come back. Word to the wise, don't ever count out Tom Brady. I know he hasn't won the big dance in a while. I know he lost a big game last year versus Peyton Manning in the AFC Championship game, but he was undermatched in that one. This is a really good New England football team with a couple good corners, some good linemen there, and of course Tom Brady, Gronkowski finally healthy, Joey Edelman just moves the sticks, and Brandon LaFell is a nice addition out on the wideout. But once again, this is all about Bill Belichick, and we're going to talk about the Patriots-Colts game in just a few moments. Just to go back to that Patriots-Ravens game to end the game, a key interception by the Patriots in the end zone to pretty much finish that game off with a minute and 36 seconds. But the drive before that for the Patriots to take the lead was nothing short of phenomenal, as you did see Tom Brady drop one right in the bucket to Brandon LaFell down the sideline to take the lead with that touchdown. You can never count that football team out. I know the Ravens play them tough, and they played them tough over the years. They played them tough again. The Patriots didn't end up covering the line. Baltimore did, which obviously was the right side in that football game. But back again, just look what Belichick did in there. In the second half, they didn't even run the football. If you look at some early stats and you say, boy, Tom Brady threw 50 times, 367 yards, and three touchdowns. But if I told you before the game that the leading rusher on the New England Patriots would have 7 yards, you would have thought that they would have been blown out of the game, because you know the Patriots do like to run the football. LeGarrette Blount, Brandon Bolden, young kid Gray. That's a good running football team with a solid offensive line. But in this game, you have to take what they're giving you. The Ravens were playing in a little bit of a front four, weren't bringing much heat, and certainly giving the New England Patriots whatever they wanted with soft coverages. So they were just diming them out, 5-yard gains, 6-yard gains, coming up with some interesting play calls, especially the one to Gronkowski, where they lined up with some ineligible wide receivers at different positions there, and Gronkowski was able to go right up the middle for a 32-yard gain at that one point. But it's just a smart coaching staff. Harbaugh down there does a great job with the Ravens, but this is the New England Patriots. This is the playoffs, and they're at home. They're unbeatable at home. I mean, let's face it. Tom Brady at home is just flat out unbeatable. He showed why he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, and they are moving on to the AFC title game. Flipping over to the night game was the Seahawks and the Panthers. I don't really think anybody was surprised. The only thing I was really surprised is that the Panthers actually got to 17 points in that one. I thought it might have been a little bit worse. It actually could have been. In the last 2 minutes of the game, Seattle did have a 1st and 10 with 2 minutes to go on the Carolina 15, just decided to take a couple knees and head to the locker room with the victory. Cam Chancellor was an animal in this game. You saw him jump over the line twice. Don't know how he didn't block either one of those two field goals, but the kid was all over the place, ended up with a 95-yard or so interception return basically to seal that game. One interesting caveat in that game, though, is Maxwell didn't even play the game with wasn't a chest contusion, but was having some respiratory failure there before the game and actually didn't play, which gave Cam Newton a little bit of an out because you saw them pick on the third cornerback in that game most of the time. Richard Sherman dropped an interception early, but Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, some of the best in the business. Give the Panthers a lot of credit. You know, they had to beat who was in front of them to get to this football game. They came in, they played hard-nosed, they played tough, but it's Seattle and Seattle. You know, if you're not bringing a hammerhead defense like the 49ers do and maybe a power run game to run right at him and keep the football, you're not going to win then. And Cam Newton, he's had his struggles over the years. He's not the most cerebral quarterback picking apart defenses. This wasn't really a good spot for him, but he did fight hard, and they did play a decent game, but I think the outcome was the outcome. Cam Newton threw 36 times, ended up with 246 yards and two touchdowns, and Kelvin Benjamin in his normal escape catching some late touchdown passes, which he's done all year in fantasy football. Russell Wilson, fantastic on third down. The guy was unstoppable, ended up with 268 yards and three touchdowns. Marshawn Lynch, kind of pedestrian, 14 carries for 59 yards. And Kearse had three catches for 129 yards and a score. But in the game, a lot of times it's the battle of the turnovers. Three turnovers by Carolina, zero by the Seattle Seahawks. That pretty much will tell you how that game went. Only 362 yards for the Carolina Panthers, but only 348 for Seattle. That's not a high chuck and duck type offense. They're just going to do what they have to do, and it's okay to punt. That's the thing I heard today, and it makes sense. In Seattle, it's okay to punt. Don't make that big turnover. You don't need to make the big play at the wrong time and put some edge back in the other team that you are facing. If we move over to Sunday, Cowboys-Packers, one of the best games of the day. Packers pulled that out 26-21. Aaron Rodgers based on one leg. Big play in that football game, obviously, was the Dez Bryant catch or no catch at the one. The letter of the law, that's all you can go by. If you look right in the rule books there, it explained it perfectly. When you make a catch, you must be controlling that catch all the way through to the ground. The ball is allowed to hit the ground, but you must have control of it. Ball popped up the air, no catch, and I know Dallas and their fans were all bent out of shape. But, hey, you live by the ref and you die by the ref. Packers move on and head up to Seattle. In the night game, very, very surprising. Colts getting at least a touchdown in most places. Steam hit that game all the way up to 9.5, I believe, by the time the game took place. Colts 24-13 over the Broncos. Basically, that entire coaching staff was fired. Jack Del Rio is now in Oakland. John Fox is now in Chicago. They're not too sure if Peyton Manning is going to come back to the team, but I mean, I don't know what their future is going to look like. They're better off with Peyton Manning, but the writing's been on the wall there. They had 3 years to get it done with a dominating team pressed right up against the cap. Veterans, all-stars, all-pros, you name it. They couldn't get it done. I do applaud John Elway for making a change there, hoping that something does work out. But what we want to do, what we want to really get into, is the games that are on this week, and that's the Packers and the Seahawks, the Colts and the Patriots. Now, before we get into the early game, I do want to take a look at the Colts and Patriots matchup, just to take a look at a couple quick bits of information there. On the Colts, it's Brady versus Luck on paper. Obviously, they don't really play against each other, but if you take a look at the only three times that they have matched up between Tom Brady and Andrew Luck, Brady is 3-0. Now, normally you'd say, hey, you know what, that's not bad, and, you know, hey, it's Brady, you know, Andrew Luck's kind of young, and maybe there were some comebacks in that game. Well, there really wasn't. If you looked at the last three games there, each one of those outcomes was by 21 points or more. Most recent one coming early this year, which was in Indianapolis. And, yeah, I mean, I'm going to admit a loss. I had Indianapolis in that game, and they were blown out. Jonas Gray went absolutely wild, ran for over 200 yards. I believe he may have scored four times in that game, and it really wasn't even as close as the score even dictated there. Tom Brady threw a bad interception to end the half in the end zone. Now, that game really could have got ugly, but that was a three-touchdown game and should have been even worse. If you remember back to last year's playoff game, they destroyed Andrew Luck. I think he had three or four turnovers or interceptions in that game alone, and that game was a blowout from the beginning in a rainy Foxborough last year in the divisional round. Also, a combined score of the last three games, 144-66. The games have been blowouts. Now, here's the thing. The line opened up right around 8 points as soon as the games ended on Sunday. I'm even seeing some sixes around at this point, which is kind of interesting because it goes against every one of your notions. You know, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady versus Andrew Luck, they own the guy. They beat you by an average of 21 points. They're home. They are the better football team. But the one thing that does scare you a little bit about is the New England pressure up front from their front four. Doesn't seem to be getting home. And Andrew Luck can manipulate that pocket with the best of them and certainly keep the New England Patriots off balance. That's something that you want to look at. We haven't fired on that game or locked anything in there yet. We do, obviously, lean. It's hard to bet against Tom Brady in New England, but if the price is right, you might have to look the other way, considering I don't think that the Colts are going to win outright against, you know, New England in New England. But they can hang around that game, and that back door should be wide open just because of the simple fact Andrew Luck's a good quarterback and he has a lot of weapons to deal with. I don't know if Indy's going to be able to run the football with much success, which, again, will put the onus on Andrew Luck to deliver. And Bill Belichick has shown time and time again that he can get the job done and silence Andrew Luck and that Colt offense. Now, my game of the day, I've already been looking at it all week. We've already locked it in, building my case as the days go by, and it's my favorite game of the weekend, and that is the early one on Sunday, the NFC title game with the Packers and the Seahawks. The key ingredient in this game is when you take a look at the Packers, they're not the same football team on the road. That's a fact. At home, they're unbeatable. I say, you see me on Twitter all week long when I go over and say they let that field go mushy just so you cannot get a pass rush, because if you can't sack Aaron Rodgers, you can't beat the Packers as a football team. Eddie Lacy is a great running back. I get it. You know, they have a couple really good wideouts, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. They don't really have a tight end. They have a very good offensive line. But if you can't get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, he's going to dissect you like a surgeon out there. He's done it all year at home. They didn't lose a single game at home. And you see it time and time again. If you can't get home, he's going to throw you the wide receiver open. He's going to run for 15 yards, which brings up another key thing. The fact that his calf is hurt, he's headed to Seattle on turf. Going to bring up a stat here in just a few minutes of why that's very big. But anyway, with your calf muscle hurting against a Seattle defense, they're going to bring the heat. They already busted them up 36-16 week one. I know sometimes you don't like to look back and say, well, you know, that was a couple months ago. But this is Seattle at home. Seattle doesn't lose at home. I know they did get beat by the Cowboys this year, but overall, it's hard to beat Seattle in Seattle. They're 8-1 this year with the only loss to the Cowboys. They were a little bit banged up at the time. In the 9 games that they've had at home, including the playoff game, they're plus 100 in points. That's 11.1 points per game is the average that they win at home. In their last 7 games combined, they've given up 56 points, and that does include the 17 given up to the Carolina Panthers. That averages out, folks, to 8 points a game. 8. That's basically, we give up a touchdown and that is it, which is why Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch can control the game by not making turnovers, moving the football, and putting points on the board. Points aren't a premium for that Seattle offense because of the defense that they play. Now, also, Russ in the playoffs is 5-1 overall and hosts a 41-13 overall record in the NFL. All signs point to Seattle. Green Bay is just a 4-4 road team on the year. And the important thing is, on AstroTurf, they're 1-3. The only win they got was a 3-point win at lowly Minnesota, and they average minus 58 points on the season on the road. That means their average game is minus 14.5 on the road, folks. So that doesn't bode well. Aaron Rodgers is banged up in this one. We already fired on 6.5 to Seattle. There are some 7s out there. Buy it down if you have to spend 15 cents or 20 cents to buy it down. I recommend it. Seattle is going to win this football game, and Seattle is going to win this football game by at least 7. Aaron Rodgers is not healthy. Seattle is at home. They will go to the Super Bowl, and depending on who they meet, they have a damn good shot at winning that Super Bowl. But if you take a look overall, the banged up Aaron Rodgers, Seattle at home, I just think it's their time, and we're going to fire minus 6.5, minus 115 on the Seattle Seahawks. Folks, that'll do it for our show this weekend. Hope it was informative. Hope we can put a little bit more money in your pocket, and we're going to see you soon on the right side. FriendBetting.com, folks.